So I'm filling in again up here for Brother Bob today, and just be in prayer for them traveling. Okay. All right. And I just wanted to give a quick little review of my last lesson. It was about love lesson number 8, I believe it was. And that one was about daily bread. Just a broad overview, because I know I might have lost everybody in those examples. First, I want to say I wasn't bragging about driving so many miles and so much money that I made at Philadelphia and anything like that. All I was simply saying is when you do something that's kind of big, a big daunting task, you know, if you just approach it from just a daily bread, just a little bit of a day, a little bit each day, and the Word of God is no different. If you just approach this vast thing of this Word of God and the message, the Bible, so much reading material and things that we have and sermons to listen to. But if you just do a little every day, that was my whole point in that lesson. If you missed anything in what I said, got caught up in those little examples I gave, just that's all I'm asking. Just a little bit every day, and it won't be so overwhelming. Right. Take it one day at a time. Also, I made the comment that Gabby and I are an anomaly. What I was really meaning by that, I'm not saying we're something special. It's just that we were on this course in life. She was in foster care and in all kind of different churches, long ways away from the message. I was born and raised Baptist, going down this course of life, long ways away from the message. But the predestinated plan of God intercepted our paths and brought us here. But I'm not belittling those who were raised in the message and saying that your life is any less of a paradox or an anomaly. When you come to Christ and you're not riding pastor's coattail anymore or parent's coattail, and you get a revelation for yourself, you're just as much of an anomaly. You're something that you're a paradox, if I can use a word of Brother Branham, that you're going along this course in life, riding pastor's coattail, then one day the Lord turns to you and calls you by name and says, "Who do you say I, the Son of Man, am?" So even raising the message, you still have to have that experience, and I know y'all have, many of y'all have. So I wasn't trying to belittle anybody. I was just using that example. Just shows to me the predestinated plan of God, that it wasn't me or you that came here predestinated eternally. It was the Word of God that you desire now that you didn't desire at one time, and it crossed your path, and then you began to be attracted to that.
Right.
So that was a review of last lesson. This is love lesson number 9, part 9, the divine romance. So when reading a story, sometimes it's, let me go ahead and pray over this lesson. I hadn't prayed yet. Heavenly Father, pray, just bless this little lesson. Let it be a blessing to your people here today, Lord, and those that hear it on the internet. And just help us all in our walk with you, Lord, to be encouraged in this and just to take it to heart and just to walk a closer walk with you and fall in love with you. That's what we want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So when reading a story, just in general, a story, sometimes it's good to sort of zoom out and look at the broad picture. You can get caught up in all these little details. So to see this divine romance, go back to the beginning in God's mind, look to the end and see the redeemed manifested bride, behold the Lamb's wife, and you can see this whole entire great big picture of a beautiful love story, the most beautiful story that's ever been written. Revelation 21, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talk with me, saying, "Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." I believe it was Brother Wade that mentioned this book a long time ago. I don't remember, maybe several months or a year ago. And Gabby and I bought this book at the recommendation of Brother Wade, or whoever said it, I can't remember, The Divine Romance. What, it was Brother Wade, by Gene Edwards. I highly recommend that, getting that book. It's one of my favorite books now. And in that, the author, Gene Edwards, he's simply taken this whole, like I just said, this whole overview of this great love story from an angel's perspective, because angels have been there pretty much the whole time, you know, viewing all this that's happening. There are these bystanders, and they're bystanders watching this whole thing and beholding the whole picture. And from their perspective, what must they have seen? And it's just kind of a narrative of behind the scenes about this great love story between Christ and the bride. And I absolutely love it. And several times in the book, I would stop, look back at the author and say, "Is this a message, believer?" I mean, because it's just so, there's so much in there, so much, I guess you say, revelation. So it's so rich. I just don't know how a nominal Christian could have gotten so much. But it just goes to show you, he's there too, you know, dealing with people, even in nominal churches. because they get to see a lot of things too. So romance means a feeling of excitement and mystery associated with love. I'm going to pause there for a minute, because while I'm teaching this lesson, there's two sides to all these love lessons. It's you and your spouse, those of you who are married, but then it's also us and our Lord, the bride and bridegroom, the bride of Christ and Christ. There's this feeling of excitement and mystery associated with love. And all I want to say is an encouragement, you who are married, keep that alive. Don't ever let that romance die, never. It really is alive and burning strong and passionately at the beginning when two people meet and fall in love. But you can keep it going. It absolutely doesn't have to stop. After 20, 30 years of marriage, it can keep on going. So that's a excitement, a mystery, and a feeling of love for or a strong attraction toward another person, and the courtship behaviors undertaken by an individual to express those overall feelings and resultant emotions. A feeling or action that expresses a romantic or love-like attraction between two people. It can also refer to the courtship behaviors that people use to express their feelings. Romance can begin as an infatuation that deepens as people get to know each other. I say it should definitely, not just can, it should begin as that and deepen. As you get to know each other more, that should intensify. That romance should not only perpetuate, it should actually get greater over time. Romance has been the subject of many creative endeavors, including art, music, plays, songs, and books. How about the Word of God? You know, that's in this, inspired by this romance between Christ and the bride. That's His love letter to us. Inspired love letter. So, another thing I want to say about that, going back to that before I go to the next slide here, we're wired that way. Our Creator wired us this way. You know, to have deeper and deeper love for something, mostly for Him. But you can apply that in marriage too. Use that to your advantage in your marriage and say that we're wired in such a way to where the more we get to know each other and think about how much we appreciate one another as husband and wife, the more we'll fall in love and have this infatuation and this romance that gets greater and not weaker. So, elements of romance. This is not an all-inclusive list. This is just random things I listed here. There's, I'm sure you could name more things to add to this list. But all I'm trying to do is show you the evidence of this romance that's been going on. And throughout the whole lesson, kind of meditate on these things as I bring out the examples of them. So there's, first of all, there's a longing for a companion. Okay. At the start, or even before the beginning of a romance, before the two meet, there's this longing for a companion. So like, yeah, say you and your spouse, before you met each other, you men had a longing for a wife, and the women had a longing for a husband at the start of family and all that. That was there first, you know, and Christ, in His mind, had this longing to have fellowship and have a bride and be, you know, be manifested in this bride. And then there's the first meeting, there's an attraction, there's a falling in love, courtship and communion, a proposal, an engagement, a wedding, a new home. I know it's really small writing, but intimacy, and there's a union. I wasn't ready to go on. Think of your journey. All right, now go back in your mind, you who are born again. You can go all the way back to even your childhood, your first conscious memories when you were in your maybe toddler age even. Think of the first time that God began dealing with you, however He did it and whoever He did it through. And think of that being that God was beginning to woo and coo, if you want to say it like that, brooding over your life, calling to you from a very young age. And just for an example, it was for me, my parents raised me in church, but my grandma, my dad's mom in particular, she was the one that set this example by reading the Bible and praying with me as a little bitty boy when I'd stay with her sometimes, me and my sister, and she would get down, this old woman. When I was 4 years old, she was about maybe 60. So that was old to me. And I thought, wow, how impressive this elderly woman getting down so sincere and praying on her knees in front of me and my sister and reading the Bible to us and letting us pick stories out of the Bible for her to read to us. That was God and my grandma cooing to me, beginning to woo me. And that would come back when I was 15. And I started reading the Bible and praying every day. Well, see, that was God beginning to deal with me there with what I would need later in life to be one of the best things that's ever happened to me is daily Bible reading and prayer. So think when you were a little child and you think, well, maybe it was a Sunday school teacher or a school teacher. It could have been your parents. Could have been a relative of any sort that began dealing with you from a very young age. That was this God in the starting this love story beginning to infiltrate your life and calling to you. How and when did you fall in love with him? This is where Brother Luis's lesson last Sunday and his sermon Wednesday was so profound to me, because in all my years of being in church and reading the Bible, I've heard about law and grace and all that, and never seen grace quite like he brought it out, and mercy, that when God forgives you, it causes you to fall in love with him. How can you not? When you get forgiveness versus just law saying thou shalt not, you say, all right, I'll try to be good, I'll try to follow the rules. But then when he forgives you of what you did, you can't help but fall in love with him. That's part of this whole love story. That was so profound. I've never seen it that way. So the love letter is, of course, the Bible. These are some of the elements involved. There's the Word of God, the love letter. There's the bride and groom in this great story. There's the future home. There's so many gifts, especially Christ himself is God's gift to us, Brother Banner said. And then we are God's gift to Christ, love gifts. We'll get into that here in a minute. Even our natural body and our natural life are God's gifts to us. You know, even our natural breath we take. I mean, think about the human body, how fascinating it is. It's a self-healing body, and it needs help from medicine and doctors sometimes, but by and large, most of what you come down with, the body heals itself. God made a self-healing body. Think of all the things, the love gifts he's given us. How could you not fall in love with him? From the rapture, Brother Barron said, just reading the highlight, now you can fellowship with him. That's what he wants. He's longing for fellowship to be worship. If your life always was an attribute of God and you're just a mimic of Christianity, there'll be millions and billions of them. They'll just be mimics of Christianity. But talking about this, all these instances, it shows Brother Branham saying that God wanted fellowship. It was there. And we had a longing for something. That was there. So we're going back to that last one of those slides where I said there's a longing for a companion to start with. There's that longing. Impression of Christianity, Brother Banner said, Holy Spirit coos to you and says, sinner, you're God's love gift. I want to make love to you. Won't you do it? Why don't you just open your heart and say, yes, Holy Ghost, here I am. Here I am. I don't care what anyone says. Holy Spirit, I want you. I want you. You're the one I'm looking for. So on both sides, there's this longing. Skip on down to the yellow. And God sent his big bulldozer down out of heaven. And he cleansed the old alley out. Yes, sir. The old shackled shacks gone. The tin cans are gone. The rubbish is gone. Talking about sanctification now. It's all pushed out into the sea of forgetfulness. And he tears it off. There it is, forgiveness. And you will fall in love with him. As a little boy, 12 years old, neighbor boy introduced me to pornography. One of the worst things that ever happened to me in life. And that's what caused me to realize I was a sinner and needed salvation. Because I thought before then I was pretty good. Kids at school would say, you know, Ryan, you never get in trouble. You're always getting bragged on by teachers. And I thought, maybe they're right. Maybe I'm pretty good. Not. Neighbor boy brought over porn magazine, solved that problem. I realized, yeah, I need salvation. So something in me started yearning. I cried and asked God to forgive me. Then I started falling in love. But then I had this root of evil in me for several years, three more years after that I struggled with pornography, 13, 14, 15 years old. I didn't know about sanctification. It was two more years till I came in the message. So what happened in that time, I started reading the Bible, 15 years old, started reading the Bible every day. It lasted a few more months, maybe six more months, and pornography was gone from my life forever. 25 years now, it's been gone. It's dead, dumb, devil, gone. Well, sanctification started taking place, the washing of water by the Word. How could I not love him? All those years when I struggled and I said, God, I want to get rid of this thing. I love you and I hate that I'm giving you cause for being on Calvary and I'm hurting you, Lord. That love in me was drawing me for sanctification that I didn't even know existed. I prayed. I said, Lord, can you take it away? Is that even a thing? Can you even do that? I didn't even know there was sanctification. Can you, Lord? Is that even possible? Should I even be asking that? Can you take it away from me? And profanity, using cuss words, I said, Lord, I don't want to. It's hurting you. Can you take it away? He said, yes. You read the Bible. Read the Word. And I didn't even know when I started reading that those things were starting to fall off. I didn't know that that would happen. I read the Bible because I wanted to know him. I read the Bible because I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I had that and still have that thought that if you claim to be a Christian but you don't read the Bible, you're a hypocrite. That's still my conviction to this day. If you're going to profess to be a Christian, you should read the Bible. You should know what the Bible says. You know, and I still stand by that. I don't mean to hurt any feelings, but I'm just saying, you know, Christians read the Bible. Well, that started happening. But it was that love that started when he said, I forgive you. And I said, but I still can't get rid of it. And he said, and I'd ask for forgiveness again and pray the sinner's prayer again. He said, I forgive you. How could you not love him after that? Who is this Melchizedek? God came down and became flesh and died the death in Christ so that he could clean the church in order to get it into fellowship. God loves fellowship. That's what he made the man for in the first time, was for fellowship. So the attraction, this is again some of the elements here of the romance that we're talking about, this great romance. 1 John 4, you know, is all about love. Love comes from God. For God is love, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not. No, knoweth not God, for God is love. Skip on down to verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Still 1 John 4. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We love him because he first loved us. So still on the attraction. Tell me therefore. Let's back up. This is Luke 7. Jesus is talking to Simon. He invited him over, you know, to his house and said, I have so much saying to thee, Simon. He said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Remember, talking about forgiveness causing love. Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Then he talked about the woman washing his feet with her tears, kissing his feet. She'd been forgiven. She loved him so much because she had been forgiven for so much. She was such a sinner, like I was with that pornography, such a dirty sinner. And he said, I forgive you. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now we're getting into these gifts. I didn't mention that in that list, but there are gifts involved when two people fall in love. I showered Gabby with gifts when we began to fall in love. And so it's a common thing, you know, that you want to give to the one you're in love with. The invisible union of the bride of Christ. You are wearing the wedding band of predestinated unmerited grace, the wedding band of grace unmerited of your own. So just get that image in your mind of these gifts that God gave us. There are so many gifts. All right. What a privilege to even be considered to be the bride of Christ. It's the highest calling to mankind to be the bride of Christ. Christ manifests in the form of his bride. We just have to attach ourselves to him by the new birth, reading the love letter. So the third Exodus. When the church can get in such harmony with God until the manifestation of the bridegroom is manifested in the bride, because they're going to be one. That goes back to my list there talking about the romance and how two become one, ultimately in unity. Love gifts, greater than Solomon's here. Jesus was God's greatest gift. Jesus was God's love gift to the church. And the church is God's love gift to Jesus. Think of all the gifts that we have from God, life itself, natural life and eternal life, healing, salvation, comfort, anything and everything you think of we need is summed up in Christ. God's gift to the church, the bride, in this great romance is Christ. And it's even more profound and mind-boggling to think that we're his gift. You know, when Gabby and I got married, I didn't really care for any gifts from her. She was my gift. You know, I still like to shower her with gifts, but I don't care. She does give me gifts, you know, from time to time. I don't care if she does or not. She is my gift. From service, we see Jesus with a broken heart. Come around the altar weeping. What are you? You are God, Almighty God. You are his love gift that he has chosen you and given you to Jesus Christ. So, love gifts, this is Romans 8, for I reckon the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So much that God wants to reveal in us. What a gift that is to Jehovah Jireh, number one. Brother Branham quoted this last time, like, said, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost like you people did, I walked through like a big arcade. Everything there belongs to me. So many gifts. I'm an heir of every bit of it. I'm an heir of an arcade. I'd like to find out what I got. When I become a Christian, I wanted to know what I own. So if I had an arcade, I'd go through there and pull out the drawers and look over here and see what's over there. Something seemed to be a little up high. I'd get me a stepladder and climb up to it. I'd find out what it was. Something seems beyond my reach. I'd get on my knees and start praying and rise up to it. It belongs to me. God promised it. Divine healing, the power of God, all the miracles, signs, wonders, love gifts belong to us. I mentioned this last time. I didn't read them all, but all the mysteries that are being revealed in our time, they're here, ready to be delved into if we'll just study and pray and ask God to reveal them. Mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, of Israel's blindness, of the translation of living saints at the end of this age, the New Testament church is one body composed of Jew and Gentile, the church as the bride of Christ, the in-living Christ, God, even Christ, the incarnate fullness of the Godhead embodied, the mystery of the processes by which God-likeness is restored to man, the mystery of iniquity and of the seven stars and the Babylon. So many gifts of these mysteries he saved for our day to reveal to us. Love gifts is where the Spirit said, pick up the pen and write. Spoken word is the original seed. From a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ, a beloved bride, a virgin of his word. And through them and by them will be fulfilled all that has been promised for his word in the virgin who knows no man-made creeds or dogmas. Divine, so now we're talking about the future home. You know, when a couple is to fall in love and get married, they've got to have a place to live. Well, here comes that. We know about the future home. Brother Branham preached. The divine architect has designed a new city where he will live with his bride, just to her touch. The divine architect has designed it for a divine attribute that's been divinely predestinated by divine God, who is the author of a divine life. And what will that city look like? Think of it. The impersonation of Christianity, Brother Benner said, he built a great modern new home. He's been brooding there. Beautiful lilies come up in the yard around there. As skip on down to the other highlight. As the Holy Spirit broods, he will bring forth love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, patience. He'll decorate his house upright. So Romans 5, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or demonstrates his love for us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Luke 4, this is where, basically I was just going to say on this slide that Christ left something for the church, you know, because we're part of him being manifested in the last day. We're Christ in, you know, being manifest in the last day. So in the temple, he went in the Spirit of the Lord. He quoted the scripture and read the scripture of the scroll. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book. And remember, he stopped there, but the rest of that, back in Isaiah 61, is in the day of vengeance to our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So he stopped, he fulfilled his part and left part to be fulfilled in the bride. I guess I'll go ahead and let the musicians come at this time, if you don't mind. I'm going to quote this from Brother Wade. This is a pretty long, Brother Aaron. This is Brother Aaron a couple months ago, yeah, June 12th. The old things have passed away. When I talk about that divine order, he was preaching about the divine order. And we're still staying on the subject of, you know, passion and talking about the romance. So the old things have passed away. So when you come into Christ, you're under that, because the promise is when you come into Christ, you enter in that rest. You know, God come into that, and he had a plan and a purpose. Everything was in divine order. And when he came in then, he sat down and rested because everything was working just the way God wanted it. Well, then let me tell you something, brother and sister. We step into that same place where we step into the divine order the same way. When you come into Christ, you're in divine order. Think of becoming one with Christ. It doesn't matter of Every devil in hell comes against you when everything falls apart. There's nothing there, and it blows up. There's nothing there, and you don't know where you're standing, what's going on. There's a place to stand. Why? Because no matter what comes your way, you're blessed in the beloved. We're sitting in heavenly places. I'm going to skip a little bit because it's a long quote. Everything is in divine order. You got to put your trust in him. Walk the way he leads you. You just put your confidence in the word of God. He justified me, sanctified me, filled with the Holy Spirit, brought me, put me on the road that I'm supposed to be walking on. I'm standing tonight on the divine order, standing on the divine plan of God. And you know what? I can rest solely in that. Don't have to worry about anything that comes or goes. Why? Because there's a place to stand. God wants us to realize who we are. You don't have to worry about that. See, God, who Satan really is. Satan can only do what God allows him to do. Put your trust in him. God's in control. You go out when they were out at sea and the ship was rocking, everything looked like it was going to fall and they were ready, the boat to sink. He said, Lord, you don't care, we perish. He wasn't worried. He was in the back asleep. We're so afraid because this terrible storm is coming. Why? Because he was at rest. He didn't have this. If we have that same spirit, the same one that was on that boat, we're in him. We walk the shores of Galilee. He didn't have any fear because it was one of his. Then you know what? You don't have to worry about that. God's place for us is in the divine order. That'll be where I'll stop there. But just keep in mind this romance that's going on. There's so much. There's many more things to that. But anyway, God bless you. Thank you. Amen.